Good afternoon. Welcome to the January 19th meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee and the Citizens Oversight Committee. Time is 3:30. This is Barbara Spagnola, chairperson. Everyone is present with the exception of Betty Forsyth. Any public comment? Seeing none, we will proceed with agenda item A1.
Thank you, Chairwoman Spagnola. A1 is not available at this time. Due to time constraints and the battle with just getting the audio on the web, I was not able to take the time to do the action minutes. So that'll be ready for your next meeting.
Okay, thank you, Susan. And a couple comments on that, just so that we're all level set, please. We also had asked for a correction on the November 4th minutes, item B2. That was on a motion on the streets. You were going to go back and listen to the tapes. I think I requested the word realized be changed to communicated or something like that. So I don't want to lose sight of that. And let's see. Then you will also, when you're doing these minutes and you make references to the discussion on the YouTube, you will, if we make a motion or second anything, you'll write that out. That will be written out, correct?
I'm not sure that that's how it's going to go. I try to do that as much as I can, but the idea is just to put the action time in that the item's being spoken about. So I will do my best to do that.
Okay. I think on anything of major significance, it might be nice just because that summarizes the whole discussion and somebody would not have to go back and look at all that. So, okay, so that's good. So I think we're okay on that. And so thank you. I think we should proceed now to item B1. That would be the discussion of the second quarter financial status reports and investment portfolio. And we will begin with the second quarter financial status reports. I think you only had a couple questions, Susan, but I know several of us have questions today due to the length of the report and things we just want to discuss in general on that second quarter financial status report. So, is there anyone that would like to start with their questions or comments?
Well,
Marlis?
I'll start. Okay. I wanted to thank you, first of all, Susan, for letting me attend the meeting where all of the directors presented their reports. I appreciated that, and it is helpful because it fills in the blanks on some of the reports that we're looking at. My first question is, I noted in the discussion or the recommendation that you would like this committee to prepare a report for the City Council, given our recommendations. And I'm just wondering when that report would be given.
The mid-year budget is going to be presented to the Council on, February 26th. And that would be the time when you would be coming to, you'd have an opportunity during that during that meeting. When that item comes up, I will be saying the committee is here to give their report. And so you would have an opportunity then to give your report on the Measure Q findings and also comments. And it's more comments than just a report. It's more saying to council, here's how we feel about the material that we've reviewed. And Measure Q is a little more in depth because you're actually going line by line by line and really looking at the transactions to see if they follow the spirit of Measure Q and also what we've adopted. Mm-hmm. But with the quarterly reports, it's more you didn't find anything or there was nothing that we saw that looked out of line or, oh, by the way, maybe you might want to add this into, you know, your reporting in the future. So anything that the committee has seen that they think would be helpful to us in presenting the mid-year budget, the quarterly budgets, that's okay. What that That's what that is.
Will you be reporting, excuse me, will you be reporting at that time, Susan, as
well?
That
was my next question.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so it would be reporting in addition to your report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then also on that page, under the discussion, you have a business tax is performing above budget, but with the two low revenue categories that were enacted last year, we will not receive the revenue as projected. I'm just curious what those are.
Last year, we enacted two resolutions, actually one last year and one this year. One is the low revenue category for businesses. Any business that earns in gross revenues less than $12,000 a year, and that's gross revenues, not net, they can apply for this category, and the fee is $31.92 this year. And the next one that came through was earlier in 2015, or actually more like mid-year now, my goodness. That one was for very low income, and so it's anyone who earns gross revenue of under $4,000. They don't even have to come in and report. They don't have to file any returns. They don't pay nothing. There's no requirement.
Okay. But it shouldn't affect the bottom line significantly, given that it's the low revenue generating businesses that are getting the break. Is that correct?
Well, with our municipal auditing systems audit, the projection from them was we were going to be making double our revenue. So instead of making $400,000 a year, we would be making on an ongoing basis closer to $900,000 a year. And that was based on the fact that a normal business license for anyone was $137 for an annual license. And then, of course, you had other categories that you could do a one day, you could do special events. But for the majority of the businesses, to include a small crafter, it would be if someone were to come in and apply for a business license, then it would have been either $137, or if it was a crafter whose craft was ancillary to their major form of source of income, it would be $58. So based on all of that, MASS, or Municipal Auditing Systems Services, they projected that we would be making almost double of what our estimate was. So that's why I say it didn't come into what the auditor had projected.
And have you made some adjustments then based on that?
We did. We didn't raise our revenues as high as what we had originally planned to. We took them up to over $500,000, and it's doing well.
Okay.
Most of our businesses still renew in July, and there's still a fair amount that comes in throughout the year. So it may come in better than that, but I don't want to count on it, because a lot of those people that we were counting on with the higher estimate are now fall into the low revenue category or no revenue.
Okay, thank you. Can I continue or? Okay. Then on page 2 of the report, in the water fund, I'm curious to know when the increased water rate will show financially on the report, because I know it was enacted and probably didn't show up until people's water bills until August or September. So I'm just not sure when we would expect to see that increased revenue.
The water rates went with the September bill, and so sometime in October, which is and September, we started seeing an increase in the water rates that we were receiving.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Then getting into the budget performance report and into the specifics of it, if you don't mind. I'm just looking at some of these anomalies that just leapt out at me. And the first one was for city attorney, and which shows that 73% of what was budgeted for the year. It's page 8 of the 64-page report. And then I was also curious, since there was an item for regular pay and then also for contractual services, and I thought it was all a contract, but maybe you could clarify that.
We do have a legal assistant, and so she's the person that's being paid the regular pay and benefits.
Okay.
And the contract is our contract attorney.
Okay.
And we made our best guess on what he was going to cost. So as he said, based on what we did in the previous year, this should be what he costs. And so we're looking at that as his guesstimate. And I think he, let me see. Well, it doesn't look like we have any bills in here. Oh, it went in legal services. So we already have $100,000 that we've charged on him in legal services, not in contractual. So we have quite a bit that he spent this year, and we will likely be making an adjustment.
Right, or looking into it.
Okay, so I have a comment on that, and pardon me for interrupting, but I don't want to go back and revisit, so if anybody
right.
has anything on the legal services. I know, Susan, in the past that's been split among the enterprise funds, 20%, 20%, 20% versus general. On your invoicing, I would presume under the contract, it's billed to exactly what the expenditure, you know, or the time was for. So if that is the case, why would we not bill those legal costs based on actuals to the... In other words, if he's spending 80% of his time on, you know, the waters or sewer issue, why wouldn't it be billed to that fund as opposed to a quasi peanut butter spread allocation?
At this time, we're keeping the 20-20 and 20. And one of the things that we wanted to do was get a full year of, of time with him to see how he bills and how we can tailor his billing. So what he does right now is if he knows that this particular project is water-related, he'll work on it, and he'll label it as water or harbor or sewer or, you know, whatever category it fits in. He'll bill HR as, you know, for labor. But he has then his general time that he spends with us, and that can go to anybody. If he's sitting in his office, anybody can come in and talk to him,
okay.
And he doesn't charge them for it. So we would have to then allocate that general time and see what, you know, how much that is. And then also look at some of the other things that he does where he talks about litigation. He might charge that as a bulk amount and not particularly separate it out to who it goes to. So what we want to do is look at this at year end, get the detail from him for a year, and make adjustments.
Okay. Oh, okay, and then make adjustments where discrete blocks of time will be charged to the appropriate enterprise fund if the work was exclusively for the benefit of that fund, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And there may be money that's being charged to them. They may be getting refunds because they didn't utilize his services enough.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you'll do a retroactive adjustment. Okay.
Yes.
So are there any other questions on anything Marlis has brought up to this point so that we don't, you know, go back up when it's everybody
right.
else's turn?
Yeah, I had one more question on the legal issues. I know that the private attorneys usually bill to keep track of their time in like 7-minute increments. And so I think it should be possible to do that. And if there's general time where he's sitting in his office and doing things, he's presumably doing something. And either there's some overhead, the allocation that could happen, or something like that. So I'm just assuming that would be part of the calculation.
And I just wanted to clarify then that at this point you have not done any interfund transfers to charge back against funds for any time. Is that right? So this represents all of his legal time.
No, it does not.
Oh, it does not.
That represents 40% of what he's billed us.
This
so
is 40%.
Because the other 20%.
The other 20% is in each of the three. They get, you know, so
right.
That's 40%.
The bill is split now.
Ah.
So that's why this is incredibly high. I've got to talk to him about why he's so high. And he's been he's not been available for a while. He had some pretty severe family problems. His parents passed away.
How are those needs being met in while he's away?
He's with a firm, so we have John Fox, who's out of the Fresno office, and then we also have Shannon Chafin, who's in the Fresno office, who's been helping us with some of the land issues that we've had. And there is, of course, also the labor attorney, Colin Tanner, who's down in Irvine.
Okay. Then I still have some problems understanding the street maintenance, both revenues and expenses. And I'm looking at pages 24, 25, and 26 in the budget performance report. And I'm trying to figure out exactly how much has been spent on street maintenance. That's question one. Since I see two categories, 52, 30 street maintenance. And then secondarily, I would like to know if that money is money that was transferred from the general fund into the pavement, into Measure Q, to pay for the overage on this pavement management plan.
Yes, we did that at the beginning of the year. And if you see on the transfer line, it says interfund transfer, year-to-date transaction is $200,000. That was giving the cash back to the general fund emergency reserve.
Right, so it came out of the street maintenance budget. Right.
We initially transferred money in to make sure that the cash was whole. Now we're transferring the money back.
Okay. So on the bottom of page 24, there's 5230 street maintenance for a total of $10,089. And then on page 25, is it? Or there's additional, and 26, there's additional street maintenance.
Should just be on page 25. A little bit. It starts a little bit on page 24,
right.
And then 25 is the $10,000. That's, and that was spent out of Measure Q.
Right. Okay. So now I'm looking at page 30. 5230 street maintenance.
That is your highway tax that comes in, and we transfer that into the general fund. That pays for the general fund's portion of street maintenance.
Ah, okay.
So that's the fuel tax?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Wait, I have a question on that.
Yes.
So basically, excuse me, yeah. The fuel tax, that $235,000, uh-huh. Gets transferred back into the general fund for street maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so that tells me we as a city are not paying for any street maintenance other than what we get from the fuel tax and Measure Q.
Well,
we are.
If you take a look at page 16 has the general fund street maintenance budget in it, and it's $268,000. We also have the street trees. That formerly street maintenance included street trees and storm drains.
Oh,
so we've split those out so that they can be more clearly seen and we can see, you know, how much we're spending on them. But those added up together are more than what the highway users tax money is.
Okay, so we're spending some money, although it looks like the majority, it might be more on the trees and storm drains.
There's $268,000 we budgeted for maintenance,
mm-hmm.
and then of course we've got $118,000 on trees and $134,000 on storm drains.
Right.
The majority winds up coming in the street maintenance, but we have had quite a bit going on trees in the last couple of years.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Marlis.
Then getting back, I'm also. And this gets into the individual reports from the directors. We did not have the Public Works presentation I know at the time, so this was the first time I saw it. And I was just curious, 78% has been spent on administration so far. And there's some confusion, I guess, as to, and maybe you could explain it. It says 78% administration and engineering, 78% of budget has been spent. And wouldn't that be salaries mostly?
Yes, but his labor costs, he was calling out the outliers. And so that line on his budget is showing as 78%. But if you look down into his labor costs applied, there's nothing been spent out of that. Our old software, if someone coded themselves to another fund, it removed the salary out of labor cost applied and charged the salary to wherever they were charging from because their home base was 5205. Our new software doesn't do that anymore. It doesn't charge anything to 5205 for whatever they're charging out. So if they're charging to capital projects, it goes directly to the capital projects budget. So that labor cost applied number is going to be rolled up into his personnel costs, and that way you won't see that 78% anomaly anymore.
And you also won't see labor costs applied anymore? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Should I just keep going, or are there any questions on this issue?
You're on the roll.
Well, I didn't mean to be. The bottom line for the general fund, if I can find that piece, showed, was it 55% of revenues for the year and 52% expenses?
Yes.
And which, of course, is close to 50%. But I'm just curious to know if this timing issue that we have where we don't know, I mean, revenues don't always come in evenly, if we expect to be over or under budget based on those timing issues with respect to our revenues, and the same for expenses.
If everything remains constant, then we will be over budget. But our big driver in our general fund, that's the unknown, is our TOT. And if it's rainy and it continues to be rainy and the tourists don't come, obviously our TOT is going to drop. And right now it's projected to come to perform, already it's performing over budget, and it's projected to come in at over 2.9 million. So if everything goes along as it should, we will be over budget in our revenues. Now our expenditures are showing oddly because of the one-time expenditures that we make that are very large.
Right, and I'm just wondering if we're anticipating any big contracts coming up there that are going to be paid in the second half of the year.
The only one that'll come up is this. Oh, well, that's not in the general fund. It's the second half of the state water bill that'll come due, but not in the general fund. Most of the contracts that we've started should be ongoing. Any of the larger things that we have to pay out right in July, they've been done, so they're going to trickle down into more normal. Our percentages are going to fall into more normal ranges.
Okay, thanks.
Just a quick question on that is, since the majority of the general fund is labor costs anyways, does the half-year budget report include 13 biweekly pay periods, so there's no anomaly there?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. And then finally, the last page of the budget performance report, which includes all of the funds, shows a projected deficit for the year. And I'm just curious to know where that's from or which fund is showing a deficit.
My Well, I can tell you that the Harbor Accumulation Fund is $40,000. It looks like they're spending more money than what they've what they're doing is they're spending the money they've accumulated. And I'm guessing that's what's going to happen in some cases. I haven't looked at this that carefully to see which fund, but I know the Sewer Accumulation Fund already shows $91,000 that it spent that it didn't have budgeted for. They'll spend their money. They'll spend their accumulated money because that's what they accumulate it for.
Right.
So they don't always put budgets in these. We try to put the transfer budgets in to show what they're doing.
But it was even the case for the adopted budget, so I'm curious. It looks like you're actually doing better than the adopted budget. So you were...
It may be that some transfers haven't been made. I'll have to look
and
take a look and see more carefully.
That would be great. Those are my questions. Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Go ahead, Susan.
I just had a few, just a few high-level questions, and mainly from the summary tables at the beginning, pages one, you know, one through five in the summary tables, and just a few things caught my eye, and I couldn't quite figure out from the details what was going on with that. The first one was the state-mandated cost reimbursement. I noticed it's budgeted at $5,000, and it's the transactions are almost $100,000, and I was wondering what that was for.
The state controller's office suspended payments of the state-mandated cost reimbursements for many years. We stopped receiving some of our claims payments back in 2004, and they didn't get it. It wasn't put back into the budget until it was in for the 2015 budget. That was the first time that we got everything back. We would get little bits here and there. They'd have one particular one that they might start, and we would get reimbursement for it.
Mm-hmm.
But once they got it in the budget, they went back to all those old claims we'd filed, and they paid them all. Last year, in 14-15, they paid us interest on all of those claims that we had outstanding. And then this year, they went ahead, they had the funding to do it, and they paid them all. I think we've received everything that we should have gotten from the state by now.
Okay, and what happens to that money? Does it just go back in the general fund?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I had a question. Excuse me, I'm going to speak to you here. Some of these are not large items, but they just seemed a little strange. Evidence supplies, account 55113. Is that have to do with what does that have to do with? Is that... legal issues, or what is evidence supplies?
Evidence supplies is in the police department. They have property and evidence that they retain, and we had to rent some pods that we hadn't planned for with the budget, but we did the creek cleanup, and she rented the pods so that she could store everyone's property and make sure that their property was safe and secure.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I noticed that was at 88% for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then just one or two other things. This is not a big one. The miscellaneous bank charges I noticed were, I'm going to make sure I'm reading correctly. Yeah, about 133% already this year, and I was wondering what was going on with the bank and why that would have been the case.
This is a combination of bank charges, and it's also a combination of credit card charges. So our credit card fees are coming in much higher than, we're doing a lot more building, and contractors are coming in and they're paying for their building permits with credit cards, and we have been absorbing the fees. So we're talking to our city attorney right now to see if there is a way for us with our master fee schedule to collect those as a convenience fee.
Okay, so if someone would come in and use a credit card, we would just charge them the extra percentage amount for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, those are all the questions I had.
Greg, did you have anything? Okay, thank you. I think I just have a couple that weren't already addressed. I appreciate everybody's questions. And Susan, you answering what we had ahead of time. I noticed in the state police grant you had budgeted $100,000 and you only have $25,000. Are you okay for that, or is that just an anomaly?
It's the timing on when they send it. They send the payments quarterly, and so we get the first one in October. We'll get the next one in January. Next one's in April, and then we get one in July that we accrue back. So we get the whole 100,000. It just takes them a little longer to get it to us.
Just another anomaly. That's fine. Good. Also, risk management. I think it was like the revenue was 21% and the expenses were 84%. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
The expenditures, most of the expenditures in the risk management fund are made immediately in July. So the revenues come in. We bring the revenues in with journal entries, and we capture the money back from all of the various departments. The one thing that we don't capture except every 6 months is workers' comp. And we do, or I'm sorry, we used to do it every 6 months. We're doing it annually now. So we'll pick up the workers' comp amounts that we're collecting in the liability accounts and transfer those to risk management at the end of the year. By the end of the year, risk management should be whole.
Okay, thank you. And let's see if I have anything else. No, I think I might have a couple of general comments, and I think that maybe explains why we didn't have more questions ahead of time, but these are really general comments on the formatting, and I think that's more adequately addressed under item B4 on budget and template, and maybe we can make some suggestions and discuss that when we get to that point. So I don't want to jump to that right away. So, and on the unfunded liability, I think I saw $1.7 million. That's typically costs incurred when employees terminate and you have to pay for vacation and unused. Is that correct?
It's that, and it's also people that have accrued hours in excess of their banks. We pay that out. We do that annually.
Okay. So, but you don't see any red flags there. It's a little hard to judge.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Any other further comments on this one? Go ahead, please.
I was just curious. You know, Greg and I have had a subcommittee to talk about the reporting format. Would you rather wait until
before? Yeah, I think it all.
That's what I had asked Susan ahead of time. Thank
you.
Okay,
thanks.
So, to close this item, it sounds like you have addressed all of our questions beforehand or today. So we don't have any comments, I don't think. Greg, go ahead. Nope. Susan? Marlis?
No, except what would you like from us, a recommendation? Or
right.
More that you accept the report. And then, of course, when you prepare your comments to City Council, you'll let them know anything that you've noticed that you'd like us to change or that you think could be improved on. It's always good to tell me, but it's really good to tell them.
So that would be more in the B4 that we're going to discuss with this and some other templates. We'll
right.
wrap that. We can say we could start our preface with we accept the report as presented and the questions that have been answered by Susan. However, we do have some suggestions for future reporting for your consideration.
That'd be great.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so I guess I'll make a motion that we accept the second quarter budget reports as presented, addressed, and discussed.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion so carried. Thank you. All right, so that will bring us to item B2, discussion on presentation to City Council of Committee Recommendations on District Transaction Tax, i.e. Measure Q, financials and quarterly reports. So, Susan, you asked us to prepare something similar to using the format we used in previous years, PowerPoint. We've gone through a couple iterations of that. I think we're at the final draft, and we're ready to go with that. I haven't sent the final draft out because I was waiting for one question from you about the recommendation from last year on retiring the certificate of participation for the fires, and I want to take that out of there, that bullet out of there. Other than that, it's 6 pages, and basically 4 of it deals with the expenditures this year, and it's pretty straightforward, I think, mm-hmm. because we discussed it and didn't have a whole lot of questions. And then we have some recommendations for next year's expenditures based on, you know, the budget to date, and something related to the streets financing in terms of the additional information. If we're going to recommend you accelerate spending on streets maintenance, which we are recommending, we're also going to recommend what we think is necessary to make proper financial. Mm-hmm. So there's a slide on that, a little more detailed. Depending on the time, you know, I want them to at least have it in their packet as a takeaway so they understand when they read, you know, what we've discussed on that today.
And I did want to let you know that I made a mistake on the date on the mid-year budget presentation. It's February the 9th. I was thinking of the January 26th meeting, and I said February 26th. It's February 9th.
Oh, okay. So
I'm
then
sorry.
A question, because I think you said Measure Q presentation is February 9th.
It's everything. Mid-year is going to be done on February the 9th.
All right. So how would you like us or recommend that we just throw another slide in on that and do it all at once?
That'd be great.
Okay. So I'll continue to work with my committee. We're, you know, all putting our 2 cents in and come up. So instead of 6 PowerPoint slides, it might be 8, but
that's fine.
With the exception of one slide, we don't load up a PowerPoint with 18 sentences mm-hmm. and 14 pictures. So, just to clarify. Thank you. All right. Number 3, information item, update on city's annual budget. We have that material. Susan, if you just want to summarize it real briefly, I'm sure we've all read it. Probably not too much discussion, but let's see what we have.
Yeah, I did want to let you know that the budget was delayed. The audit was delayed. We had issued an RFP and asked the respondents to ensure that they would get the audits done by December 31st. The respondent that we chose understood that and realized towards the end of November that they had failed to do some compliance testing on the transit fund when they were out here back in September, late September, early October. So they began their compliance work, and some of the things that they needed to do caused them to drill down a little further than what they thought they were going to have to do. So they sent me an email and said, I'm really sorry, we're not going to get this done by December 31st. And I can understand that. We're a new client for them. They didn't realize, you know, they didn't realize how much they were going to have to dig into, so I understand. They're completing the audit right now. I believe they've got all the information now from the transit group. I think everything's taken care of there. And they had 2 outstanding items on the city's audit that we reconciled last week. So everything looks like it's on track. They should be able to issue both reports by the 30th. We were very fortunate with our TDA audit in that Janine Burlingame in our Public Works Department contacted SLOCOG and said, can we have an extension? And SLOCOG said, sure, we'll extend you until March 31st. Well, we don't want to wait that long, but at least we know that we do have a little comfort zone there if we really ran into a snag.
So from this committee, you're going to want us to, when it finally makes the agenda, you would like us to review it. You'll get it to us ahead of time. Is that going to be lengthy, like hundreds of pages, or
the audit will be? The audit will be probably 100 pages, and I'll get that to you as soon as I can. You can review it, and then we can put that on our April meeting. Or if we need to have a meeting sooner than that, if we decide that we're going to have a study session, as I mentioned in I think it's B4. Mm-hmm. If we decide that we're going to have a study session, that can be put on as an item just so that you can comment and ask questions. Okay. And then we can go into studying the rest of the,
okay,
you know, how the budget is presented.
Do you know, do you expect anything unusual? Did they give you any previews as to what the contents might look like?
Not at this point. I don't think there's, to my knowledge, there are no findings. Everything that they've discovered that they thought was odd, because we're a new client, they threw it back at us and said, you need to look at this. And so we would look at it and figure out what was wrong with it and come back and tell them. And as long as we're the ones that are figuring out the problem, it doesn't become a finding in the audit. As soon as we say, we don't know, you're the auditors, you find it. Okay, we will. And then they write you up at the end. So at this point, we didn't cause any material delays in the audit, and we had no material errors that they will have to report.
That's good news. Any other comments? Okay, so thank you. We'll look forward to receiving that. And, yes, that's why I was asking you to get ahead of time, get it on a specific month agenda, ensure that we have enough time to review it and discuss it, you know, intelligently. So thanks. That's perfect. All right, so let's go to action item B4, discussion of presentation of city's budget to the public. And we've had, I'll make a couple comments, and then I'm going to turn it over to, I think, Marlis and Greg to discuss part of what we've requested on that. But I think in general, going back to the review of the second quarter, personally, I had a lot of difficulty following the transfers in and out and going through it all, because if we're asked for our opinion, we'd hate to miss anything obvious. But on the other hand, we don't want to ask 3,000 questions about, you know, minimal expenses. So I think this discussion on item B4, it ties in very well with that and how we might make some recommendations so that by third quarter, maybe, when we get the total budget, it might not be 64 pages. It might be 4 or 5 pages, and maybe we can give you some guidelines for allowances. Because it seems like every question we asked today, the percents were off, revenue versus expenditures, but they were all explainable, for the most part, by encumbrances. So somehow we have to weave that into, in my opinion, the budget reporting if we're going to make these meaningful for, quote, citizens. And I see that as a key responsibility here of this committee, not asking you or someone on your staff to verify every $2,000 expenditure that looks haywire, but rather, how can we get this up a level and make it something that our citizens would be interested in reading, you know, on the website or hearing more about? Or there were quite a few citizens responding on the goals session, which is very closely related to this. But I think we have to find a way to help you or help your staff make it more presentable. So with that, I believe it was a couple meetings ago, Greg and Marlis were going to get together and come up with a template, which they did, very thorough, very informative. And Marlis has a summary of that, so let's open the discussion with that template. Thank you.
Thanks. Yes, that was November 4th when we initially talked about it. And I know that the committee has had difficulty along the way because receiving 264 pages to plow through of financial data is extremely difficult, even though, and some of us are just, you know, we're not experts in this area. So it makes it very difficult, and I know that we really do need to communicate to the public. So we formed a subcommittee, and Greg and I got together, and we came up with a reporting template, which Susan and I met and talked about. And the upshot of that meeting was that what we requested was not something that Susan could easily produce for us using the current accounting system, that the software of the accounting system that the city uses. And so what that means is that she would have to actually enter a new spreadsheet or come up with a new set of data. Granted, she would draw on data that's available, but she would have to prepare a separate report. It would not be something she could easily produce. And that was sort of where we left it. I said I would come back with that report, but I think all of us are concerned, especially about encumbrances, because that's something, an obligation that the city has undertaken, and it's not going to show up in a cash-based accounting system until it's actually paid, even though the expenses are really incurred on a monthly basis. And so it is possible to, in the current software system, to use the encumbrance function, but I know Susan was explaining to me, and perhaps she can also share it at this time, that that reduces the budget. And you can explain to everyone else what that's about. But I still think we need to resolve that problem, and I know Greg has some ideas about that. I think the issue of reporting to the citizenry, there's a set of reports that perhaps should come to us, but I think if for reporting to citizens, it needs to be much more simplified than what we get, because we're looking at much more detail than the citizen would be interested in. I'll just also make a comment at this time, and then we can kick off the discussion. Having attended the director's meeting where they presented the mid-year budget review for Mr. Buckingham, I noticed how different the presentations were, and some of them were better than others. And it struck me that really what you want to know at each budget review is what's the bottom line, where are you with respect to your budget, and what are the both unexpected revenues, and not necessarily in detail, but how much unexpected revenues do you expect in the coming 6 months, or did you get this 6 months and expect in the future? And the same with expenses, so that you get a sense of where the department is at overall at the halfway point that's realistic. And as I say, some departments did it better than others. And I don't think it's necessary to get down into the weeds. It's not helpful to know that a department was 2,000% overspending on supplies if it was a $500 expense item. So it has to do with the big ticket items. You know, where's the big hits going to come, and where are we going to get some extra revenue? So I think that's a kickoff to our discussion.
Greg, did you want to add anything on the encumbrances, please?
Yeah, let me just kind of review my perspective. I don't think we had ever intended the reporting format that we created to be generated from the financial system, or that we would anticipate that you would have to go in and implement encumbrance functionality, or go into the budget and allocate the budget by quarter or month. I think we had viewed this as an Excel spreadsheet that was formatted in accordance with that template that we built. Part of that template was populated, and in fact, a lot of that template was populated, and the information source for that information were the PowerPoint presentations that the department heads give during the city manager review. So what this spreadsheet's attempting to do is to standardize what they're presenting and do it based on the quarter that's under review, year to date, and then for the entire fiscal year. So there were two basic new pieces of information that we were asking to be incorporated in this format above and beyond what was being presented to the city manager. One piece of information was the encumbrances, and the second piece of information was of the fiscal year budget for a fund and organization, how much of that fiscal year budget is allocated to the quarter under review? And so with that, each successive quarter, we know what our year-to-date allocation of the fiscal year budget is, in addition to the allocation of the fiscal year budget that would be associated with the current period. Our view, at least my view, was that since the managers that are creating these reports for the city manager built those fiscal year budgets, they're very familiar with the cyclical timing and the ebb and flow of of expenditures and revenues. So they should have pretty good sense from quarter to quarter the amount of their fiscal year budget that they believe would be consumed in that given quarter. So that's all we were asking is, hey, if the division managers can now say, of my fiscal year budget for, and I'll just give an example, and this was taken from the city manager's presentation, in community development, they report for the general fund in one organizational level, 7105. Some of the other departments have multiple organizations, so this would extend to each of those organizations that any given department is managing. So going back to community development, basically we know what their fiscal year budget is. We know what that manager should be able to take that fiscal year budget for that fund and organization and allocate it to each quarter that's under review. So that was one piece. Then the other piece is for that same fund and organization that the department is reporting to the city manager on, we're saying they should be able to estimate the encumbrance balance that exists at for that quarter. So for example, if the department has a contract and they fully encumber that in the first quarter, we would expect that the department manager would show that that portion of the budget would be consumed in that quarter.
And it does in the budget performance report.
Well, you don't capture encumbrances, so it couldn't do that.
That's what the budget is. Because if we switch to encumbrances, I'll stop putting contract budgets in, and it'll be based on the purchase orders. So then they would fall into the encumbrance line item. It's the identical amount that's going to move forward.
Well, that's assuming that you expend the entire amount encumbered in the same quarter. That's not always the case. You might encumber a contract that covers the entire year.
Sure.
So what you want to do then is you want to show that the budget's encumbered. Say, assuming you encumber it in the first quarter, you show that your budget available has been reduced by that entire encumbrance amount. Now what you do is you show the full encumbrance that is associated with the budget line or for that fund and organization. Then as you expend that budget, the actuals are showing up as your quarter actual or year-to-date actuals, and your encumbrance balance is being reduced as you expend against that encumbrance. So since you don't record that encumbrance in the financial system, it's not reducing your budget available. This is a way that manually implements budgetary encumbrances that most organizations do systematically in the financial system through, as you just mentioned, encumbering their POs. So essentially what we're asking here is we acknowledge that you don't implement that functionality. We're just looking for a manual way to reflect that reality. Each and every one of these division managers is well aware of how much they've had to encumber and how much they've had to expend against that encumbrance, even if they haven't been tracking that in the financial system. Why do they do that? Well, they have to because they know that unexpended encumbrance could come back and haunt them if they don't watch the budget available when they consider all the other expenditures that are associated with that fund and organization. So they have to be doing it already. And our thought is, since they have to be watching that to ensure they don't exceed their budgeted amount, if they just track what that encumbrance balance is from quarter to quarter, that's very good information. Because then we can look at what the actual year-to-date numbers are in addition to what the encumbrance balance adds to that, so we can really get a sense of, are you on track with that budget line?
Well, with the city manager presentation, this is his PowerPoint template that we're using, so that one's not going to change.
And I wasn't suggesting that. What we're saying is that almost all the information that we're requesting in this format is captured in his presentation. We're not asking it to be changed. We can leverage what's used there. What we're asking for is two additional pieces of information. One, again, how you would allocate that fiscal year budget quarter to quarter, and what encumbrance balances exist. Those are the only two pieces of information we're asking to be added to this template.
That'll be something that you'll have to include in your recommendations, because at this point, adding any manual labor to anyone, because our software system won't pull out the same kind of items, it's not that it's not there, it's just you're asking someone to stop and add extra columns to something that they're already doing that's fairly clear.
Well, I don't think it is that clear for us, because, again, if you present in your year-to-date actual reports what the budget is and what year-to-date actuals are, that does not report what budgetary encumbrances exist. All you're reporting is what your actuals have been. Budgetary encumbrances are there to give an indication that in addition to year-to-date actuals, plus the encumbrance balance, that is your true budget available left. And what we're saying is, without having them estimate what that encumbrance balance is, we don't know what the true budget available is, because budget minus year-to-date actuals is not the proper measure of what budget available is. What the proper measure of budget available is year-to-date actuals plus encumbrance balance. That's what we're trying to get at with this template. And again, we're not asking you to implement encumbrance functionality. We're just asking department managers who know what contracts they've signed and what expenditures have incurred against that encumbrance, they know the difference between what they've actually spent and what the true encumbrance amount is, or what they signed up for that contract. They know the difference. We're just asking them to enter the difference into this spreadsheet. They have to be doing it anyways, because they have to be tracking that to ensure they don't overspend their budget. So again, even though it's not systematically done, they have to be manually cognizant of it anyways. So we don't see that as a big time drain on them.
Thank you, Greg. And Susan, I agree. The comment I would make is that we also don't like to see manual intervention. That would be a last resort. However, if the city is using a cash-based accounting system that is not doing what we're asking for, quarterly accruals, then maybe it's hard to understand how a new accounting system that you're getting does not do this. This is pretty standard business financial reporting. And so maybe we need to articulate the template in our requirements, include in our report, and have this new system or whatever the customization is, you know, get a price quote or whatever if you can't do it now. Or what's the impact? Is it labor? Is it? It just seems, as I look at the water reclamation facility and we're looking at the Procore software and that financial templates, I don't know how we're going to manage a $100 million project. We can't keep track of the commitments and that. So something's going to have to give. And maybe it's not Greg's template per se. Maybe it is. But we have to find, I think, some way to do this. And every question, like we said, we had on the second quarter budget, almost every one was risk management, 24% revenue, you know, 82% expenses. Something is wrong with this picture. So then you have to explain every single one because you're not doing the accruals. So.
And one other thing I would mention is, you know, encumbrance, budgetary encumbrance is a common business practice in public sector. We don't understand why that would be a problem to report that. In some cases, the organization has implemented budgetary encumbrances in the financial system, and so it's systematically maintaining the encumbrance balance for all budget lines. in this case, we're a smaller organization here, and you may not implement encumbrance functionality, so the financial system is not maintaining that encumbrance balance on an automated basis. What we're suggesting here is that because the financial system isn't maintaining that encumbrance balance on an automated basis, it has to be done manually in some form or another. And we're just asking that that be reflected in the template, because managers have to be doing it already because it's not being systematically done. They have to already be doing it.
Okay, so in general, we can wrap that up in our report, but I had a couple other comments, thoughts as we looked at, you had asked us to look at the website and the reporting out there, and my first comment, and again, we'll include all this as we discuss, but I found that the file names were not consistently named. So when I go into the documents on the website, try to find whether it's a 10-year report, you're not real clear, even looking at the title of the file name, what you're looking at. And on one of them, for example, I had to go through to find a letter from Mr. Buckingham dated June 10th to even find the date, that what period of time this document covered. So we mentioned that last time on the PowerPoints for the city managers, and it looked like it was a little more consistent. But same thing we would ask for out on the website, that somehow there has to be a way to categorize in folders and consistently name things. And also, like if you might call it FY16 budget summary, underscore 2016-01-01. So you know, so they'll sort by the dates, and you know. So there may be some things we could do along those lines. Another thought, another suggestion would be, from some of our citizens, would be when you're doing the budget quarter reporting, instead of the 64 pages, maybe you do a exception report, which would be anything in the range of 40%, if you're going to use these percents that right now in some cases are meaningless without the encumbrances, basically. But you would do something like a 40 to 60% variance and or delta of 25,000. You mentioned that's what, you know, the auditors look at. And then you would give us a summary report. This line item in the police department is, you know, under 40% or over 60% expended. And now, if that only means $500, we don't care, but we would determine some amount. And then here's why. You'll have to have some explanation. And until you get the encumbrances, that may be what the explanation is. But I don't see how you can do any other proper budgeting and management, because if you're not tracking these encumbrances, as Greg said, then what's going to happen the fourth quarter if a bunch of big bills come in? You know, you're going to be over budget. Why did we not know that? Why couldn't we prepare? Well, we weren't tracking. We weren't accruing charges, expenses appropriately.
Yeah.
And if I could just add, they very well might be accruing their expenditures properly. But what we don't know, again, is if whether the accrued expenditure is associated with an encumbrance or not. And as you said, if you have a bunch of expenditures that aren't linked to an encumbrance, and you still have an encumbrance balance out there that you haven't had your actual expenditures against, that's where the problem comes in, and that's why it is important to have that information.
Yeah, I think there's a number of you know, in public utility billing or accounting, there's a some kind of validation routines where you can go through and pick out, as Barbara was talking about, some kind of screens that basically flag the things that are strange in some way. And, of course, it's better to have the accrual because then you know what to flag it against. But even if you're just looking at these and going, well, that's 500% over, something like that, it feels a little like the time that I've been on the committee that we're having to do all of that manually. So we're slogging our way through 300 pages of you know, transaction reports and having to flag these things manually. And then if you find something in the cover sheet, then you've got to go trace it through the details. And it seems like that part of that could be automated and flagged, and then you could probably spare yourself a lot of these questions by, you could get a list of that yourself even before we come into this kind of process. And it just seems like everything would go a little more smoothly if those things could be flagged in some automated way through some validation routines or something like that.
There are some budget exception reports that are out there, and I can absolutely run those. It's just going to get, but I can't tailor it to say anything at 25,000. Well, I'm not sure about that. I know I can't do percentages. So it would be anything that's out of balance by 25,000. I may be able to use something like that as a criteria, but I'm not sure.
I was just going to say that what I found in looking through the various directors' reports, they may use the same sort of format, but the content varies widely. And I thought that the example that was most helpful to me was in the harbor department, the slide called The Bottom Line, where he talked about revenues versus budget, projected they'd be over, explained where they were, and then the same with expenses, and basically talked about why they were higher because of the amortization across time, and basically showed that he was going to make up any deficit with the projected increase in his revenues. So he could actually show that he was on target, and he thought it through, and that to me, you know, for each department would be very helpful. And not all departments actually followed that. And you had to really go through it in a complicated way to try to figure out what's the bottom line here for this department. And that would be very helpful.
So the bottom line for an enterprise fund is very different from the bottom line from one of the general funds. Because if I took all of my revenue and I put my expenses, I've got millions of dollars to cover my $500,000 in expenses. Whereas it's what would be better for us to present are the revenues in total. And all of the revenues, because everything in the general fund covers everybody. A lot of the property taxes go for police and fire. DOT goes the same way. So all of it covers everyone. And that's why we're bottom line driven in the general fund so much. So if we've brought in 55% of our revenues and we've spent 52% of our expenditures, the anomalies in the expenditures by department we pull out, the revenues are a little harder because they're fine. And so we try to say what kind of revenues we might be getting to, you know, to do, especially at mid-year, for mid-year adjustments. And just say, you know, we got some unexpected revenue in our state mandated cost reimbursements. General fund's a little quirkier than harbor, and harbor does work like that, and water and sewer would work the same way. General fund's a little bit trickier, and so that's why they just bring out there, and the city manager wants just the outliers in each department. And it's nice to throw in whatever revenues you're going to get, or, you know, yay for this, but it's a lot tougher with the general fund to do that same thing.
No, I understand that. It's nice to see a very concise mm-hmm. bottom line, one page, not page after page, of this item is 5,000 over this is, you know, or especially on those small items. It gets down into the weeds.
That again can be something that, you know, you recommend. Like I said, this was direction from the city manager that's what we report are outliers. So we're putting everything in there, even the fact that we might have spent 200% of our $500 supplies budget because, you know, something, yeah.
Right. I'm sorry, what do you mean by outliers? Is there a percent or something associated
with that? He calls them anything that is outside of what it should be. So if at this time we should have spent 50% and we've spent 60%, he wants to know about it, even if it's a supply budget that right. we spent just a little bit more than we should have.
Okay.
Basically variance reporting, I think, is a more
Thank
common
you.
term. And if I could just add to what Marlis was saying, again, going back to the community development presentation, that was one other point I wanted to hit. was in that presentation to the city manager, which again drove the format of that Excel template, they broke the expenditures into two basic categories. One was pay and benefits, and then operating expenditures. And then within operating expenditures, it looks like they broke that into four different classifications. So I don't know. I haven't looked at the city's chart of account hierarchy, but it looks like they just took the level right below operating expenditures and then reported the budget amount and then the actual expenditures for each of those. Not everybody did that. Some other departments broke it out by pay and benefits and then the operating. I found that very useful and a really good summary that if all the departments broke that level below the fund and organization by pay and benefits, and then the hierarchy right below operating, you know, those, I think there were four different ones, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then we can see that across funds and organizations, the same classifications of expenditures and revenues, what each fund and organization had budgeted, the actuals, et cetera. I think that kind of consistency. Then that doesn't address the issue we just talked about, a variance reporting. So just for me to kind of sum this up is our template kind of said we saw that the departments reported for each fund and organization that very high level, and each department or a department could have more than one organization. So we really like that fund organization summary. Then we also liked how community development and I can't remember the other department broke that layer, expenditure layer below that fund organization layer into pay and benefits and then the operating expenditures and then how they broke that operating expenditure down. And then the final thing I think that our template was trying to get at, but we really wanted to work with the city and get the staff's input on this, was what do we define as a variance? Where do we want to see that variance reporting? Is it at the fund organization level? Is it at the some lower level of expenditure within that fund and organization? And also, once we decide on whatever level that variance reporting should happen, what is the criteria to say that's a variance? Is it when we're 10% over budget? Is it 15%? And if we could get all of that standardized, I think that would really help in terms of reporting things back to the citizens.
I think that's an excellent summary. And also, with respect to the general fund and what Greg hinted on, a majority of those costs are labor. So maybe if we just had a one-page summary of the, you know, the payroll, the base, the overtime, I was confused by the labor cost applied, but we're not going to have that anymore, you know, with the new system. And the benefits, you know, the overhead expenditures. That might be nice because as we discuss funding things from the general fund, it's important from the citizens' perspective that they know whatever it is, 75% of that is labor, because we're talking about some things too. So that might be something we would include. I think we have some work to do. You mentioned a workshop, and maybe that's where we can hammer out some of these ideas, put to paper. We've put, Greg and Marlos have put a lot to paper, but, you know, clean that up a little bit and summarize it and some other ideas we have. I was going to say, Susan, the information you sent from that, was it CFMO meeting, was very helpful. And gave us some ideas And if you look at the other cities in that report, Riverside and Irvine, and some of the citizens reporting, I think it's excellent. It's very professional. And in my mind, that would be our goal. We're not there yet. We need to hammer out our template and what we want and how to see the reports. And then maybe we would come back and say, hey, take this section out of this city and another section out of another city, bring it all together and have someone develop that kind of communication to citizens.
I would just reiterate that I do think that what Susan provides to our committee may be very different than what is provided to the citizens. So it's a matter of, you know, summarizing what we get in a, and putting it in a format that the public would understand and so.
Now, one of the things that council wanted you to do was take a look at the budget that we've got online and see if that's something that is laid out in a format that the citizens really understand. And maybe there needs to be a different method of putting that together, because right now, you know, we devote a page to each department. Back before I got here, we used to put these in the budget. And it was really ugly, and it was long. The budget was 300-400 pages long of these. And we pulled that into a summarized format per department, but there may be a better way to do that, and that's something that we want to do. We want to know if there needs to be more dialogue by each department, if there needs to be, you know, like a few more notes sections, some other things that we can do. And other cities' budgets are out there, so we just, you know, if that's something that we could do in a workshop, is take a look at other cities' budgets and see how they present them. It's not generally, I mean, the budget right now is manual. Here's manual. I'm the one that's putting it together. And I'm willing to entertain any changes to that, because it's just a matter of a new format that I can put the budget together to present to the public, because we really want the public to be able to understand what we're doing.
Susan, basically on what I saw out there, personal opinion only, it was way too long. It was still too much. It was hard to find the naming. But, you know, we're going to get there in baby steps. But the other thing is, I really think you have to simplify. You have to use some infographics. You have to make it look professional. And I know that sounds like that's not going to come out of your system. But if you look at any of the cities or the ones that have won awards out there, that's exactly what they have done. And it looks like very professional. Maybe their staff didn't do it. They farmed it out after they had the information. But that's the only way you're going to get people's attention, I think, to look at some of this and get engaged.
And one other thing, too, it's like you're like a one-armed paper hanger. And it's really hard to implement change. Change takes a lot of additional effort, because you've got to maintain the status quo, plus think about how you're going to manage your change and what changes, and it takes a lot. And so just getting things out each year is a big job for you, and, you know, it's hard to think about how to, you know, take it to that next step when you're so burdened with the work that's already on your plate, you know. So
Well, and that's the advantage. That's, I think, part of the advantage of the committee, because if the committee can come up with ideas where I can switch gears. So if the committee can say, well, you know, if you laid this out in a graph, or you laid this out in this type of format, let's see how that would look. And we can always throw last year's numbers into it and take a look and see if the format, you know, if it looks good. And then that can be something that I, you know, and again, I have to float it by the city manager and make sure he's happy with it. But he's also interested in change. He wants things that the citizens, yeah, that will engage the citizens and make it clear for them to understand.
And the one thing I would say about any of the local municipal budgets we looked at, or any public sector entity, service districts, whatever, if they have a GFOA Award of Excellence, those are the ones to focus on, because they're using best practices and they've gotten the GFOA Award for that budget presentation. And GFOA has a lot of very good guidance on this to municipalities, so I think there's a lot of resource material we can draw on for that.
I agree. Thank you. So, committee, are we at a point where maybe we want to try to schedule a budget workshop? And, Susan, for clarification, you don't have to notice this or anything, right? Or do you? Okay.
If everyone's going to attend, we do. So then it becomes a meeting, and it's a public workshop. And you take the time to do what you're, you know, you'll be able to take the time to do what you need to do, but we do have to notice it. It's not as if you're going to be sitting up here. It could be that you're coming into the City Hall conference room.
That's what I'd like, a conference room with a whiteboard or something where we can bring our
computers
laptops and chit-chat.
And
look at different things. Okay.
And it would be noticed as such. If any members of the public wanted to attend, they could.
Okay. And you would be the facilitator, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So are we ready to discuss that? And now we do have two members, I believe, and I personally want to thank Greg Head and Susan Schneider for their contributions, but their term expires. So just for clarification, in the event they want to be involved, they could be as public, right? Is that correct, Susan? Yes. Thank you. Okay. So just FYI, and thank you as well. And then we have two new members joining us. So.
I think it'll be a good way for the new members to get up to speed pretty quickly.
Right. So you'll probably have to notice it, because if it's more, ideally, it's more than two of us. So, and that's another suggestion, too, that I personally am going to include in some of, after we discuss with City Council, of expanding the number of members on this committee, if it's possible, so that we could have more subcommittees and you know, get a little more work done. Okay. So... what are we talking here? Any dates? I'm out of time next week, so I think, and include the new members, we're looking into February. Is there any particular day or time, afternoon?
Can I ask
evening?
A question first?
Sure.
I'm curious about the timeline for the budget preparation and when this is, how this is happening, so that how what we do fits into that process.
And February would be excellent to fit into the process. So roughly around February the 10th, I put out budget worksheets. And these come straight out of the financial system. They have 3 to 4 years of history. I can put as much history as I want in there, but most everyone's only interested in a couple of years, because we don't want to look back too far, because those are the grim years and we've been doing better. So we want to look at a couple of years. We look at the year-to-date actual. We look at the budget, that's the amended budgets that's in there, and then they have a line. And that line is what they're going to estimate for the next year. And then they give us detail about what goes into their line. So if it's salaries, I have a salary schedule that I provide to them. If it's contracts, they usually have a second page on their budget workbook that has all the details about their contracts that add up to whatever number they use for their, you know, contract budget. But that's how they formulate those. Those aren't due back to me until March, and then in March, that's when we start. March, April is when we start massaging the budget, and I usually like it to go to the city manager for him to prepare his letter early April, like the first week of April. April Fool's Day is always one of my favorites, but I don't always make it that day.
Okay, so February 9th, Tuesday, we will be presenting, and everyone's invited to that, former and current members, to the City Council on, number one, the Measure Q, and number two, the second quarter budget review. So that's February 9th, Tuesday. So any time after that, it sounds like, would be a good time, correct? Okay. And my vote is afternoons, but I'm flexible.
I think afternoon and evening, if you expect to have participation from the public, it's always good to have something late in the day.
Yeah. We are talking now about the study session.
Study session, yes.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And just so you know, City Hall is closed on the 12th, and it's also closed on the 15th. Other than that, we're open.
it's probably Friday, Monday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you want to go back and, well, how do you guys want to do it? Right now, any of those days are pretty much, if you do it far enough in advance, afternoon or evening, I think most of those are.
Since we're going to have the new members, if you wouldn't mind kind of sending out an email with some alternative dates and times and to the new members also, and we'll pick one.
They're here.
Is that right? They're here.
Yes.
We could ask them.
Dave Batant in the audience and Roscoe Matthew?
Matthew.
Okay.
And I can do that because I'll have to look at availability of the conference room. Right now it's under construction and maybe out of use for a while. So we may be in the in Susan's favorite room, the multipurpose room in the community center.
You might want to take the cafe sign off there so that people know and put the sign up that says what it is. I think that would be helpful.
That would be good. Just send out a couple days at workout and times different, and then we'll just vote, and hopefully we'll one will be unanimous. That'd be great. Okay, so anything else on B4? I think we've kind of discussed it, and that's going to be on future agenda items, obviously. But
I just have one more thing.
Sure.
I'm wondering if it would be possible for us to pick up a packet of the materials before each meeting instead of having you email these documents to us. That is what we do with the Public Works Advisory Board. And I know that when I'm trying, I have a very slow printer that only prints on one side of the paper, and it would be much appreciated if I could pick up a packet.
You can email them to UPS, and they'll print them out for you. It's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I believe the first packet that I sent out, I said, if anyone needed a printed copy, please let me know.
Oh.
And I can do that.
Thank you.
That'd be good. That's what we do with WRF. And, by the way, we have two new members. You sent a packet out. I couldn't find it. The Resources Handbook for the State of California, when this committee started, that was very helpful. If you could get two copies, one to Dave and one to Roscoe, that would be great.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, thank you. So that brings us to schedule next meeting. Now, is that a typo? You have April 19th. Don't we have something scheduled for February? I know we're quiet on March, but.
We didn't at the time that I was preparing this. The only thing that we would do if it would be in February would be to review the audit. So we could schedule a meeting in February, and it would be the third
Tuesday.
Thank you.
I actually looked up our work plan.
Yeah, I did too, and I thought we had everything but March scheduled.
It says February 16th, meet and review the 10-year budget forecast.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know if we want to do that also, but
thank you.
Well, let's think about that. That ties in closely with what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is scheduled and that's on the work plan, then I think we should hold that meeting and then maybe right after that or right before, whatever you think, Susan, start on the workshop.
Okay. And also review the audit at that meeting.
And review the audit, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So that February 16th would have two items right now, review the audit and review the 10-year forecast.
All right.
Okay. All right. Then any further comments or closing comments, anybody? Thank you all for your support, and meeting adjourned at 4:57.